We should be thankful. Tonight, the message is about being thankful. I know it's not Thanksgiving. It's sandwiched between Canadian Thanksgiving and American Thanksgiving. You probably had a message around the time of Thanksgiving about Thanksgiving and being thankful. But I think being thankful is something of an everyday occurrence for us as believers. We need to be thankful. And we're told to be thankful. Just as a little bit of a different slant, I'd like to tell you about our trip that we made to Spain. We were there for 2.5 months back in the spring. And just to tell you the scene that there is in that part of Europe, it still requires lots and lots of evangelism. Spain is a country that has more people than Canada. And it is so tiny that it fits in Ontario with room left over. So, and it's the second most mountainous country in Europe, so that means they're packed in. And where are they packed in? Well, they're packed into apartments. That's where most people live. So when we were downsizing, so to speak, to come to Spain, to Canada to live, really didn't affect us at all. The downsizing, as we weren't interested in bringing any furniture, we just had a pallet full of boxes of books and things like that. You know, this funny thing about downsizing, they say that if you don't use something for 2 years, you don't need it. Well, we even brought things from Spain that evidently we don't need because there are boxes we still haven't looked into. And I'm sure there are some books that we'll never use. Now with the iPhone, if I want to consult a verse, I don't have time to go to the shelf and pull down a book and see where that verse was. I don't need to do that. I just write in here a phrase of the verse and it pops up. I guess this machine knows that I'm a religious nut because it's right on it every time. Sometimes we think that these machines are quite neutral and that they're very innocuous and that they don't affect us for anything. But I can assure you that if the machines are on, they hear. Might be even hearing my message. That's okay too. Seems I'm not going to say anything that I shouldn't, I hope. But regarding the work over in Spain that we were engaged in, and I'm sure you're interested to know that the evangelical world there is growing little by little. Over the last 10 years, there's been quite an influx of believers from Latin America. Many people have gone to Spain to get a better life, more well-being socially, and in all that emigration, there has been a bunch of Christians as well settling in Spain. So that's good. And some of them have reached out to fellow workers and so on in Spain. So that's been positive. And the assembly where we were from its initial roots and springing up, our son is one of the elders there, one of the four elders. He participates actively on every Sunday with music, he and his wife and their son, our grandson. Some days, if I get down about the one who doesn't follow the Lord, I have to encourage myself thinking, yes, but there are three others that are active in the worship and in the praise that there is in three different countries, in Spain and in the States and here in Canada. So sometimes we say the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? So yes, we do pour our prayers into those that aren't quite there, you know, and we do pray for them and we wait for the Lord to work, but we need to give thanks. We certainly are thankful for what the Lord is doing. When we went to Spain and stayed for 40 years, we knew and we didn't think that it was bad that our children, some of them might marry into the Spanish culture, And so it has been. Two of them are married there, and one is married to a man in the States, in Iowa. They are involved at the Emmaus Bible College with Emmaus International, with the correspondence coursework. And the one that's here is active at Woodside Bible Fellowship. So we knew that some of our children might end up staying in Spain. That was the case. And so that means our heart is sort of divided here and there. We send a piece by email there, and a piece by WhatsApp over there, and a card when we can. And this is just how it is. I remember days way back when we didn't even have things like cell phones. And actually, at the beginning in Spain, we didn't even have a phone, a home phone. So we would have to go down the street to a phone booth and do a call. So things have certainly changed. The scene in Europe, for those of you who may be interested, the governments swing from left to right. In Spain, the government swung to the left because of a non-confidence vote, and the left got in again, where the Conservatives had been in for a number of years. Some of you might be interested in that part in Barcelona. If you had a map here, right to the right there on the coast would be Barcelona, and that area is Catalonia. And they wanted to separate from Spain, as you heard. Well, no such thing will happen, at least not constitutionally, because it's constitutionally impossible to have a referendum for that, for just that region. It would have to be a referendum for all of Spain to decide whether they would allow that. And they're not about to do that. So it was an illegal referendum that they took. The man there, Puigdemont, just declared himself the president. And he was applauded, of course, by his own. And then he had to flee. And he's still in Germany, as far as we know. So if he got back to Spain, he would be put into jail. So that's the situation in that. There have been protests, and even these last few days, there were protests again in that area. So as far as the gospel is concerned, there is growth. It's still a real minority. The believers there might be 1% of the population. And some people think, well, it's a Catholic country. Well, half the people don't even believe in God. And I'm talking about the Catholics and everybody. Half the people don't believe in God or the Bible or heaven and hell. So it's a very secularized society. So we need to pray for Europe, where the gospel went out from Europe, and now it's a post-Christian, post-modern world. Well, we need to be thankful. Yes, we do. For various reasons. The first being that God commands us to be thankful. Right from the law, from the Levitical law, we have Deuteronomy 8:10, where he says, "When you have eaten and are full," now we give thanks before we eat, right? For what we're going to eat. But he says, "When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you." Well, we could say the same. When we're eating and we have a full meal, we have to remember. And he says different things we should remember. Lest we start being self-centered and independent and think that it's our money. We got this by our might and our power, and so it's ours. We have to realize, as they did, that everything was the Lord's, and he brought you out of slavery through the terrible wilderness. He fed you with manna. Then you might say in your heart, verse 17, "My power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth." And you need to remember, it wasn't you. And how much more we on this side of the cross have to say, praise the Lord for what we have. Everything we have is because of him. And this command to give thanks constantly to the Lord. We have it in all the Psalms, but I'll just cite some of these verses. I won't turn to some of them, but Psalm 104, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful and bless his name. We're to be thankful. It's a command. Let's go to Colossians 3:15, which is also a command. Colossians 3:15 to 17. This is a parallel passage of Ephesians 5. And there it talks about being filled with the Spirit. We could look there as well a little later. And here it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. It's a command. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You'll remember this is also mentioned in Ephesians about being filled with the Spirit, singing to one another, singing in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Here it says, with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We need to be a thankful people. How many times do parents tell their children to be thankful? Please and thank you. This is a generation of thankless people, ungrateful people. We have a right to this and a right to that. Somebody said they had the right to not be detained at the airport, I think it was just lately. We have so many rights in this country that we forget all about the duties, all about the obligations. We have a right. So we need to always be instructing and always be up on children and grandchildren to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, you will know by heart, in everything, give thanks, right? In everything. In all circumstances, give thanks. For this is the will of God. If we want to know what the will of God is, there is the will of God. Give thanks in everything. Let's turn to Ephesians 5, just a few pages before. Ephesians 5, as I said, is a parallel passage to Colossians, where Paul was saying to be filled with the word and to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Well, it's the same as being filled with the Spirit, evidently, because the result is the same. And this is what he says in chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And then it tells us, what kind of a life is this life being filled with the Spirit? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's what we read in Colossians. The same thing. To be filled with the Word is to be filled with the Spirit of God. And to be controlled by Him instead of wine, you're controlled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks. There's another sign, another evidence of the filling of the Spirit. Doesn't say anything at all about speaking in tongues in these passages. Maybe that was an evidence for the disciples at that time that the Spirit was filling them. But here it says nothing of that. It says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're told to give thanks in everything. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in everything. Here we're told to give thanks for everything. Is that possible? Is that being extreme? After killing somebody, I give thanks for that. After sinning, I say, thank you, Lord, for the sin I just committed. Is that being a little extreme? I think we could take things to their extreme consequence when we say, give thanks for everything. I don't think the idea is that we should give thanks for how bad we are and what a mess we've made and how we've offended everyone. Thank you, Lord, that I've been such a terrible sinner. But in all things, and all things taken in consequence here, we thank God. I remember a Nigerian brother that we helped to establish themselves in Spain, and he was establishing an English-speaking congregation. And he had, of course, his typical accent, and sometimes when he would talk to me on the phone, I would be glad I wasn't there so that I could run over that message time and time again and understand what he said with his accent that I couldn't quite catch. When we met, I would say, how are you, Emmanuel? He would say, we thank God. We thank God. That was his expression. We thank God. We're thankful. And that stuck with me. I thought, wow, they have good expressions, you know. So, we don't want to be extreme. Yes, we thank God in everything. We thank Him for everything. It's very difficult when something doesn't go right. And we don't feel like thanking God. But we can thank Him, generally speaking, because we know that He'll work everything for good to those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. He will work things out for our good. So we need to be balanced in this expression. Now, taken to an extreme when something doesn't go our way and something is just... And this happens at work all the time, right? Things don't go our way and something comes in that we had nothing to do with. And what do we do? Well, if we did thank God that He's on the throne and that He's sovereign, I thank you, Lord, for this situation. I don't know how you're going to handle this, but I thank you because your word tells me to thank you. In everything, give thanks. Now, when it's our responsibility and we messed up, we don't go thanking God for how bad we are and what a sinner we are and etc., right? But we certainly can thank Him, especially when it hasn't been our fault. Something happens we had nothing to do with. We had an accident the other day, right? I didn't, but you may have had an accident. Or you had a sickness come into your life. You had nothing to do with it. And there's no blame to blame anyone. It just happened. Well, we can thank God. We can thank Him because we know He's in control. That's what we're after. Being thankful. In everything, give thanks. And for everything, give thanks, he says. So being thankful is an evidence that we are controlled, filled with the Holy Spirit. Another evidence here is that we submit to one another in the fear of God. Submitting, singing to one another. And in Colossians, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And giving thanks is another sign, another evidence. And submitting to one another is another evidence of being filled with the Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit. In the last days, Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, in the last days, when is that? Well, in the last days, we know that the last days started right in the early church and they've gone on until now, but these may be the last of the last days. Well, in the last days, he said, men will be lovers of themselves, they'll be selfish, self-centered, egotists, hedonists, only thinking of themselves, and they will be ungrateful. That's one thing I wanted to point out. Among all the other list of things, they'll be ungrateful. Has there ever been a time when people are so ungrateful? I think we as believers have a big job in this sense of showing other people what a real Christian is like. Being thankful. Why, we could change a whole atmosphere of an office by just that, being thankful to people for what they're doing. I remember just recently having done some things in our work of caring for people and being thankful. It really feels good when someone thanks you for doing something. I didn't expect it, but it does feel good when somebody's thankful, doesn't it? Well, you do the same. You thank somebody. It starts with you, with all of us. We should be thankful. There's so many things to be thankful for. Today, coming here, I was thanking the Lord in the car for my dad. My dad was a godly man. Percy knew him. My dad was a godly man. I've been so blessed. And I just thank the Lord for my dad. And we can do that anytime. We can thank the Lord for people that are gone on. Just thanking him for those people. That's one thing we can do. We can honor our parents all our life. We don't pray for them anymore, but we can honor them. We don't pray for the dead. And there's real. It concerns me. Lately, I've seen so many people, and they pretty well talking to the dead. I've heard it in funerals, you know. They address the person who's gone. It sort of upsets me because it brings back to my mind that a culture that we were ministering to in Spain actually spoke to the dead. Speaking to what they call a saint, that's speaking to the dead. Speaking to someone who supposedly is in another life, in the hereafter. We're not to do that. So, we can honor them. Yes, we can speak well of them. We can thank God for them. But not the other. Let's move on. Let's read the passage in Luke 17. Here we have an example of someone who was thankful. Luke 17. Some of you will recognize the leper who was thankful. Let's read Luke 17, 11 to 19. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, as the Lord went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan, or a half-breed, or a heretic, etc. To the Jews, that was what a Samaritan was. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." This past Thanksgiving, we had a turkey dinner in a house of someone who'd never celebrated Thanksgiving in Canada before. It was an exquisite meal. It took a little longer because we thought we were going to have it at 5 o'clock. We ended eating about 8:45. We got there on time, as a Canadian would. We thought, well, maybe they've gotten integrated in this culture enough to know that when they say supper time, it's 5 o'clock. Not so. So we entered into the Spanish world again, and we had supper with a Colombian family. The reason they invited us, this was in Stratford, was because we had been counseling this young couple with a little baby, and they were really having a hard time. So hard that when we finished counseling them, because In her words, it was of no avail. They were going to split up. And it was sad to see. We would have them over for a meal, and then after we would go through materials, you know. And it was sad to see. And this summer, they sent some pictures, and it looked as if they were together on the photos. And we say, well, something's happened here. And lo and behold, they invite us to this Thanksgiving dinner now in October. And we're so thrilled to be invited there because her family was there from Colombia. So these were Colombians, foreigners, here celebrating Thanksgiving in Canada for the first time. They'd never done this, but they were going to celebrate Thanksgiving. And they sure put on a spread. They had turkey. They just didn't have tamales and all that stuff. They had turkey and ham and potatoes, and they tried their best. And I'm just thinking of afterwards how expressive they all were, thanking God that they were in Canada. It really was moving to hear how thankful they were to escape the situation they had in Colombia. Some parts of Colombia are still under that oppression from the guerrillas and so on. And they were so thankful to be in Canada. And this couple was so thankful that they were together again. So we just entered into that Thanksgiving with them, and it was just tremendous. But I say that because Jesus said, so nobody came back here except this foreigner. Often, it's those people that are very thankful. And you'll hear this in the news over and over of some foreigners or some people who are immigrants who are so thankful to be in Canada. And we're thankful to be where we are as well. The key is to be thankful wherever you are. But it is something to note here that Jesus said, so no person that's a Jew gave thanks, just this foreigner. He's the only one that came and threw himself at Jesus' feet and gave glory to God. Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Let's not be like that leper. I mean like those 9 lepers. Let's be like that leper, the Samaritan, who came back to give thanks. So why give thanks? Well, I think we have enough basis in Scripture that we need to give thanks because He tells us to. If it was our parents telling us, you have to learn to give thanks, say please and thank you. That's something we teach our children and grandchildren and we have to repeat over and over. Why? Because they forget. And we forget. And that's why God has to tell us over and over. It's a command of Scripture. Be thankful. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. So why give thanks? Because He orders us to give thanks. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. The Psalms are just full of them. Expressions of giving thanks. We need to be a thankful people. It should just come out of us so naturally. As I said, in our workplace, wherever we are, in family gatherings, at home especially, thank your wife for the meal she cooked. I remember to do that today. Not just because I was going to preach, but I was thankful for that meal that she cooked. And we never should take each other for granted, should we? So we thank the Lord because He orders us to. But there are other reasons here that I want to give you. And the first of these is that it makes us aware of His presence. When we thank God in the little things of life, you go down the road and you go for a walk and you thank Him for that color in those leaves. He did that. You thank Him for that sky that He paints every night. Sometimes we don't see it, but it's there. You thank Him for the little things. Then you can thank Him for anything that you think of because it's all God. He made it. As a creator and what He did for you and how He made you, you thank Him for His gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual gifts He's given you. You thank him and you just keep on thanking him. Why? Because it's part of prayer. In prayer, you have different aspects. You could classify them with the word acts. So you have A for adoration and worship. You have C for confession. You have T for thanksgiving. And then you have S for supplication. Now that could be interceding for others, asking on their behalf or on your behalf. Petition. So supplication would mean asking for things. So you've got adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Acts. Four aspects that you could remember by that word, acts. So one of those four is thanksgiving. We do that Sunday morning in our worship services. But thanksgiving is not just for Sunday morning. That's being a Sunday morning only Christian. We need to be thankful every day at all times. In everything give thanks. And it makes us aware of God's presence in our life. We need to practice his presence. As that famous author said, practicing the presence of God. Making sure that we realize he's here. We don't ask him to be here. He's here. I know that when we pray, be with so and so, what we mean, and God knows what we mean, be with him in a special way. Give him that awareness of his presence, that you're there with him. And we sum it up by, be with so and so. He's there. Make sure you remember he is there. And make him aware that you're there. And make him aware of your presence. So when we start to give thanks in everything, we're acknowledging his presence. That's number one. The second is that we look for his purpose in what's happening. Nothing is by chance. When we realize that God has his purpose and he's in control, as we spoke this morning of Jonah, God had his agenda. Jonah had his. And they didn't coincide until Jonah was willing to do the will of God and preach to the Ninevites. God had his purpose, and he has his purpose in you and whatever happens. And this turns the negative to positive when we give thanks. Things that we didn't want. How many times have you said, in your mind at least, I didn't need this? Has that ever happened to you? I don't need this right now. I didn't need this. And who are we to say we didn't need it? We didn't want it, that's for sure. But did we need it or didn't we need it? God knows what we need, right? And so he has his purposes. The third thing is that we submit our will to his when we give thanks. Because we often don't know his will. And sometimes something doesn't seem like it even could be his will. Something bad happens. We don't say, well, that's because God wanted that. God doesn't want to afflict. He doesn't want to test, but he has to. The trials come, according to 1 Peter 1, if need be. And evidently, there's a need. Who doesn't have any trials? I guess you don't need any. Every one of us has our tailor-made, custom-fit trials. Just for us. That God the tailor has ready for us. So if we submit our will to his in obedience to do what he tells us to do, then we're no longer fighting against that thing that's happening. Or a bad circumstance. And there's still bad circumstances. Bad things happen. And they will happen. You know, a Christian can have everything happen to him that happens to anybody else. God doesn't sort of hedge us around and say, well, nothing will happen to you. Anything can happen. We can have an accident. We can have cancer. We can have any kind of a disease that's crippling. We can have all manner of things happen to us. That doesn't make us a worse Christian. It'll make us a better one. Or you can turn bitter. Bitter or better? Which do you want? So many things we can learn from trials. So, submitting our will to His. There's a fourth reason. It reminds us that we depend upon God. When we start thinking we can, and we can, and we can, and we will do, and we will go here, and we will go there, what does James say? Caution. A cautionary word. If the Lord wills. I think as we get older, we say this more. When we're young, we think, well, we're going to go there, you know, whether He wants us to or not, we're going. Well, if it's His will. And we begin to realize we can't control everything. And we really do depend on Him for everything. And we take the attitude of being self-made and that we can do this and we're going to do that. We act in independence as if we didn't need Him. We're not doing that. We're not doing that in the Spirit because we do need Him. Yes, we do need Him. And we need to thank Him. So that reminds us of our dependence upon God. In fifth place, it develops our trust in God. The more we thank Him for what happens, the more we're going to trust Him. And the more we trust Him, the more we thank Him. Because we know that it's for our good. We trust Him. Is God trustworthy? Yes, He is. He's never failed us. He's the God of all comfort. He's the all-wise God. And He knows exactly what we need. I love that verse in 2 Corinthians 3 that says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our trials." So that we might comfort those that are in any trial. We're comforted so we could be comforters. That's how God works. So we depend on Him then, and we trust in Him. Now the sixth one is that we begin to rejoice. A thankful person is a joyful one. We can't imagine a person who, "Thank you, God, for what happened to me." You know, it just doesn't seem to jive. A person who is thanking God will turn into a joyful person, or he will show his joy in an outward fashion as well. When we're thankful, we begin to rejoice. It changes us from negativism to joy. In seventh place, it has an impact on our witness. A thankful person attracts people, just like flies to honey or to something sweet. They'll be attracted because this is not common. It's not common at all. It's common to be negative and critical and murmuring and be backbiting. You can think of an office where everybody's doing that. Or a job somewhere else where they're working together, everybody's doing their own thing, but nobody's thanking anybody for anything. It's your job. What would happen if you started being thankful? Thanking just for a little thing. What would happen if when you go to a grocery store and they say the normal thing to you, you just came up with, "Thank you." Well, you're not supposed to do that. They're supposed to thank you. What if you did that? What if you thanked them for their work that they're doing? They would just go crazy. They wouldn't know what to do. So that is a real impact on our witness. People are attracted to a thankful person. This just isn't done. It's not normal. So they'll be attracted. Then there's the eighth. It focuses on God and not our circumstances. We need to be like Isaiah 40 says. We need to rise up, mount up with wings as eagles. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up as eagles. What does an eagle do? He changes his perspective totally. The higher he goes, we don't understand that. The higher we go, the less we see. The eagle goes way up there and sees a mouse down there and boom, down for the mouse. That's because he has a different ability than we do. Well, when we rise up with wings as eagles, we shall run and not be weary. We'll walk and not faint. We'll renew our strength like the eagle. We'll have a different perspective on our circumstances and we'll see them as God sees them. This isn't so negative. This isn't so bad. How do you know that? Because you see it from God's viewpoint. So that gives us a different perspective. We focus on God and not our circumstance. Little by little, we see God and not the things around us. Our perspective changes. The viewpoint changes. What we thought was so important isn't as important. And God shows us what really is important in life. The ninth point, and I'm coming to the end. I've only got 10. The ninth point is that it gives us energy when we're exhausted. You know, when things go bad around us, negative things happen, circumstances, situation, trials, difficulties, problems, it really zaps our strength. Emotionally, we're drained. Because the more we worry, the more it drains us. We don't sleep at night. We just think and think and think about all these negative things. But when we thank God, as the psalmist said, then I entered into where God was, into the sanctuary. Things look a lot different. It gives energy when we're exhausted. Worrying and fretting and trying to change things that we can't change is very exhausting. If we give thanks for the unchangeable. I've experienced this, and I'm sure you have. You wake up at night and you can't go to sleep. I think the older we get, the worse it gets. You wake up in the middle of the night and you just can't stop thinking about this negative situation or this person, and you can't get them out of your mind. You pray for them, but you just can't seem to let it go. Maybe we need to try thanking. Thanking God for what He's doing, because we don't see it, and thanking God for what He's going to do. Tenth point. It transforms anxiety into peace. Now for this, I'd like to go to Philippians 4. Wonderful passage that we need to memorize if we haven't already memorized it. Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing. No anxiety for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. There you've got it. With thanksgiving. So you're praying for something, but you're also thanking God. You're thanking God in advance, by faith, that He knows what He's doing and He's going to take care of it. So this is what relieves us of this anxiety. In everything, by prayer and supplication, yes, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, no logic to it, no reason for it, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But there is a condition. There's a condition. It says we're to present those petitions to God with thanksgiving. And then the peace of God will come. We want His peace without doing the other. That's our part, presenting them to God with thanksgiving, with all prayer and supplication, intercession, petition for ourselves. We're asking God in prayer. Prayer is so important, and this aspect is important. He talks about petition here, which is the supplication of Acts. The last letter is S, supplication. But the T of thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. Don't forget thanksgiving in prayer. Don't forget adoration and worship. Don't forget confession. All of these aspects were covered by the Lord except the sea of confession. He never confessed one sin. He was pure and spotless and never sinned. But he experienced all the rest of prayer. And if he did, what about us? We need to be men and women of prayer. And I love to say this to seniors because evidently seniors have lots of time on their hands. Rolling your eyes, sister. That's right. Everyone thinks they do. Well, you don't do anything. You don't work anymore. I have seen seniors that are so super active, they seem to not have enough time to do everything they want to do. I just want to end with something that Sharon, she reads a lot. She read this about an opal. The opal is made only of desert dust, sand, and silica, and owes its beauty and preciousness to a defect. It is a stone with a broken heart. It is full of minute fissures which admit air, and air refracts the light. Hence its lovely hues. And that sweet lamp of fire ever burns at its heart, for the breath of the Lord God is in it. You are only conscious of the cracks and desert dust, but He makes His precious opal. We must be broken in ourselves before we can give back the lovely hues of His light. The opal is like us in another way, being one of the most fragile of stones. As Christians, we must retain and reflect our vulnerability as we allow God to be our rock and our strength. The wonderful things God has planned, His purposes are tremendous. What He wants to make out of you and I, brothers and sisters, we just thank Him. Let's thank Him together as He's spoken to us about being thankful and continually being thankful. Father, You're gracious to us, You're generous, You're kind, and we want to thank You for that. We want to thank You for so many things, but we want to concentrate on Your gift to us of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And with Him You've given us all things that pertain to godliness and life. And we have no excuse before You, Lord. We confess our ungratefulness at times, our anxiety at times, our desire to be independent and to be self-made. Father, we depend on You for everything. And we acknowledge that before You tonight, and we just pray that You'll make us men and women of thankful hearts, that we might be different to those around us. Lord, we need You, and we thank You for Your word that teaches us how we should live. And we bless You and praise You in Jesus' precious name. Amen.